Hey, I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. I am here in Nashville, Tennessee with Russell Lissek of Block Party. Russell, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I'm sorry, man. It's an American-British thing, but I am having trouble pronouncing your last name.
You nailed it.
All right. Thank you, Russell. You're too kind. Hey, tell me about this Telecaster. It looks like an old friend.
Yeah, I got this kind of in 2004, I think, when we first signed a record deal and got an advance, a bit of money. So, I mean, it wasn't super expensive or anything, but it was just the first American Fender.
Cool.
And it's been my favorite ever since.
Now, that's the way to spend a record advance on gear. Yeah,
rather than other gear.
So, yeah, very cool. So, tell me about it. Have you changed it over the years?
Not really. I think I've got Seymour Duncan pickup.
Oh, cool.
And some stickers.
Yes.
Kind of come and go over the years.
Yeah.
That's it. It was good as it came. Otherwise, I probably brought the action down a little.
Definitely high mileage on that.
Yeah. It's got a few kind of cracks around the place, but that kind of adds to the appeal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I dig the intonation on these. Are very, very solid with the newer sort of the three barrel.
Yeah, and it's always been my kind of favorite to anything that's a bit more intricate. It always feels easier to play on this guitar than anything else.
Right, very cool. Very cool. So that's your number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is your number two? What's your other go-to?
I don't really have a number two. Like, this is number one. I have, what do I have? I have a Strat, which I use. I've only really started using recently.
Just, hey, let's look at it. Can we?
I don't know where the Strat is. Is it in the
Leaf,
vicinity?
Do you have a Strat handy? Oh, nice. Oh, very Jimi Hendrix. Nice.
Yeah, it's just your classic
American
Strat. Again, it just feels nice to play. It's just, that's always kind of the thing for me, even before I plug in, how it feels to play on unplugged.
Yeah.
It's kind of, if it doesn't feel good, then it's out of the running, whereas everything else you can modify to a degree to make it work for you.
Yeah.
So I've started using that. I mean, I used it in the studio on other records, mm-hmm. but this is probably the first touring cycle that I've started using it live. Just, for a bit of different tone.
So just change up for certain songs, but for the most part, you're on the tone.
There's a couple of songs, if the tuning's different, it's generally easier to switch guitars.
Sure.
Than to kind of spend 2 minutes tuning, which isn't so captivating for the audience.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
So what would be what's another guitar that you're touring with?
There's this, another Tele over here.
Oh, cool. Great. Excellent.
So this is one that's been modified. It's got a toy inside, basically.
Oh, really?
And you press this, you can't hear it. But it's on a loop of different noises.
Really?
And I just use that in a solo.
We've got to actually hear this. Would you mind me plugging in? Okay. Yeah, if you've gone to the trouble of routing a hole in that guitar to put a toy in it, we've got to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of affected the general sound of the guitar, so I didn't really use it for anything else. I mean, it sounds fine.
Yeah.
And then doing that through loops and pedals and stuff is kind of...
That is great.
It's
so is it... So just the toys in there and the pickups pick it up?
Yeah, it's under this section.
Huh.
There's a 9-volt battery in there as well, which is powering the remainder of the toy.
So is that a guitar thing or just a toy that you found?
It was just a toy I found years ago. I've had this for quite a while, but I only just started using it again recently because one of the new songs from the record...
Yeah.
I just, I hadn't used this guitar for years, and I just remembered it, and I was like, I think it probably sounds a little different what we did on the record, kind of using other studio effects.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, how can I do that live? And then I remembered this, and I kind of thought, you know, that's as close to a kind of video game sound as you can get out of a guitar.
Very cool. Can you like show how you'd run it through some of your effects? I kind of want to hear it.
Just put
it's just so weird.
Yeah, even just a bit of delay, and it sounds kind of cool.
That is awesome. That's a great idea, man. Very cool. All right. Maybe the Fender will do your own signature model with the weird toy in it someday.
Cool.
Okay, well, that's cool. That's a good guitar to end on. Let's get into amps. Looks like you're traveling very simply here.
Yeah. I mean, again, this was what we got when we first signed. I think even before we signed our first record deal, our manager bought us these amps.
Oh, really?
We didn't have any money then. I didn't really know much about amps. I think we were probably traveling with like a pair of little PV amps, yeah. You know, like practice amps.
Yeah. When you were really young, when you all got signed, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I guess we were like 21, 22.
That's pretty young.
But yeah. and we didn't have any money.
Yeah.
So we were just using what our parents had bought us.
Right.
And then we started kind of doing proper shows, and our manager kind of said, you know, you need some better amps.
Right.
And and he just recommended these, and he's a guitarist as well, so you know, we trusted his judgment, and yeah, it was a good shout.
Yeah.
Kind of.
So is this the same amp you've had the whole time, or is this a newer?
It's probably not the exact physical one. We've got like lots of them.
Sure.
We've got backups, and then.
Yeah, the Hot Rod Deluxe, cool.
These probably live here in America, and then we have more back in the UK.
Oh, okay.
Which travel around Europe, because shipping amps is kind of expensive.
You could buy a Hot Rod Deluxe for less than you could ship one back and forth.
And I mean, it's also a good amp logistically, just because when you play like festivals and things, and you have to fly into places, you know, sometimes you can't take much gear with you. You have to take what you can take on a plane,
right?
You know, some guitars and stuff. So, you know, using an amp that you can hire pretty much anywhere in the world is good. I've got another amp. It's not here. It's Audio Kitchen, which is it's like a boutique amp from the UK.
Oh.
But I think quite a lot of people use them. I think Kings of Leon use them.
Oh,
and Arctic Monkeys. And they're really cool. But it just... I was using it sometimes in the UK, but it just kind of came down to the practical elements of I'm using one amp for some shows, and then I'm using this amp for other shows, and we do spend quite a lot of time here in the States as well, so it just kind of made more sense to have the same amp.
One consistent.
Also, these have dual inputs, which are both the same, because most other amps, even if they have two inputs, the channels sound different.
Yeah.
And I wanted two channels that sound the same, because my pedal board is kind of really complicated.
That's a perfect segue. Let's get into the pedal board. Okay, Russell, very impressive pedal board. Tell me about this whole mess.
Yep. So start at the left end. We have the Electro-Harmonix Memory Man.
Cool.
Which is nice. Got a nice tone, which they don't seem to have on the newer ones, which are kind of smaller. I don't know if they're still analog or not. I don't know. They sound different though, so I've got
they do. Three they of do those. Sound different.
Yeah. In reserve. At the front, it's just kind of a bunch of Boss pedals.
So what are we running left to right?
Yeah. I mean, this is just one of the digital delays. This is like just for loops. Just stuff like that. That one's just always set to loops.
Oh,
I know
cool.
If I ever need to loop anything, it's always at the end. Reverb.
Cool.
And so there's two delays here. One's DD5, which they also don't make anymore. So I've also got a stockpile of them, because they have like a backwards effect.
Yeah.
Which the others don't have anymore. They have a backwards effect, but it's not the same. It doesn't play the forwards as well. It just plays the backwards. It doesn't play the like the dry. It only plays the wet.
So do you have it on the backwards setting now?
No. So like,
I kind of want to hear it. Yeah. Cool.
But yeah, and the new ones don't do that. So
that's cool.
Also, there's so many of our songs have like different delay tempos and things. It's kind of good that I can like one song will have two different delay settings. So one's doing one and one's doing the other. And yeah, I spend a lot of time between songs, kind of changing settings for things.
So you don't use a tap tempo. You do them by.
Yeah, everything. I mean, there are songs with specific tempo things that we'll probably get to further along. But yeah, these ones, they're kind of ballpark tempos.
Yeah,
they don't need to be like locked in.
Spin and hope and yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know by eye kind of all the settings and in my head, so they're always in the kind of general vicinity.
Cool. What's the weird mystery one next to it?
Yeah, this one. Well, this one's connected to this one, which is kind of custom made. I designed it, and then a friend who's helps make various things actually built it. It's like two delays, so that they can be set at different tempos and can immediately switch from one to the other.
Oh.
Whilst also there's no tail, so they.
Oh wow!
Kind of I'll show you one of our songs called Octopus, which is basically the whole reason that I built the pedal. Yeah, it's just like that.
That is great.
And yeah, so that's just there because it's. Easier for me to press like every beat rather than stand on one foot trying to press that, which
right.
causes my calf to collapse.
That's great. Very video game-ish.
Yeah. I think video games are probably very influential to me.
Huge influence on your work. Yeah. That's great, man. That's great.
Yeah, wah pedal. This is just to because this wah you have to like push in to turn it on and off.
Yeah,
which is kind of annoying. I always found, so that's just like to turn it on and off.
Oh, okay. Cool. Oh, cool, okay.
Yeah, a couple of pitch shifters here, which again, kind of have various settings that get fiddled with during songs, but there's quite a few songs that have, like use them both. So, Like wine will be going up.
Cool.
And I've got a whammy pedal as well, but I prefer these. And everyone loves the whammy pedal, and it is cool, and it sounds very distinctive. But I prefer the glide on this. It's so smooth, it's digital. And
yeah.
I just prefer that and.
Cool. Yeah, it sounds great.
A lot of use of it. This is like a replica of a Roland B-bar distortion pedal, which is from the 80s. They're really hard to come by. They're really expensive. I've got the real one, which I used in the studio, but I don't want to bring it on tour because I've only got one.
Sure.
And it's expensive and I don't want it to get broken or whatever. But a friend built a duplicate for. He got the blueprints somehow on the internet and like replicated it, and it sounds, 95% the same.
Really? Which that's great.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
So,
very cool.
Yeah, just love a distortion. This isn't usually here, it's just there for messing around at the moment.
Okay.
Volume pedal.
And that's where you come into the rig right there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's technically the start, even though it's physically in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Electroharmonix Pog, which we've been using a lot on this record. It's got a really distinctive sound.
They're great.
I've really got into the kind of the filter element of it.
Cool.
You can make kind of like really keyboard type sounds.
So do you do that? Do you manipulate it by hand while you're playing?
Yeah,
like
well, hand. of a...
Sorry, we've totally got that light right there.
So I've got like a remote for it, which I can't use on this guitar because it sticks onto the other guitar, but this clips on.
Okay, so like you stick it on and then...
Yeah, so that is the filter, so I can play...
Oh, okay.
And still do the filtering by hand.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Which is cool. So, because I started out and I was doing it on the floor, but I was spending like the whole song on the floor, which is kind of awkward. And then I had it on a desk, which was fine, but it kind of looked a bit lame. And I thought, you know, it'd be cool to be able to do it like literally on the guitar.
Right.
So, so that's pretty handy.
That's great.
There's Eventide here, which is a really kind of synthy sounding pedal. I mean, it does loads of different stuff. I've only got a couple of things kind of stored on it
at
the moment.
A good weird.
Just like, which is a real kind of theremin.
Right. Very Star Trek, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I like, you know, being able to make sounds which you wouldn't traditionally associate with guitar. That's, you know, that's, I find that interesting.
Yeah, that's great.
This is the Electro Harmonix Super Ego, which I've also been using as a loop pedal because it loops, but in, like, it doesn't loop like a riff, it just holds, it kind of sustains a chord.
Oh, okay.
Just like that. And then you can do stuff with that.
That's very cool. Kind of,
there's lots of potential with that, and you can play over it as well.
So. Yeah. Okay, cool.
The slicer here, which is like a tremolo, basically, but I've got it connected to the MIDI, so it's synced up with Louise on the drums.
Oh, cool.
So we can kind of, then we can have some perfectly kind of pulsing things that are in time. I always wondered, like, how soon is now by the Smiths. I always wondered how that they actually played that live.
Right.
Like, in the 80s, because it's so based around that tremolo sound. I don't know, maybe the drummer just listened to the guitar and played along to the guitar. But yeah, I was always curious about that. So, this kind of... Yeah, like, with some of the delays, you can get away with them being a little bit out, but when there's really kind of specific locked-in things, this is kind of cool for that. And then this is Line 6 M5, which has a bunch of different sounds in.
Oh, yeah,
I got this by accident because I was trying to find a tremolo pedal that could had a BPM counter on it, because I didn't want to use MIDI. I don't like MIDI, really. It's kind of unreliable, I find. So,
sure.
But I just couldn't find one that had a real tapped kind of, you could adjust to precise BPM,
right,
which is annoying. But I bought it before I realized that. Then I found it actually had some other kind of cool sounds on it, which, you know, you can combine things. Like, we've got a song called Virtue, which, you know, has a really kind of pulsing keyboard sounding riff, which is actually good. The guitar, it's just like, but then you add like the tremolo, and then and it makes something really simple sound really big and dramatic.
That's so cool. You know, and when you explain it, it's not all that complex.
It's not. The complex part really is kind of like the routing of everything. So up here we've got all these kind of channel selectors, which are linked into different pedals and put them onto different channels, kind of like mid-song or for each setup. That's really complicated. Confusing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you can see the back of it, but there's a lot of leads going in there, and the diagram of the routing is, I don't really fully understand it. Like, I knew what I wanted, and our friend back in the UK and Leaf, our guitar tech, kind of between the three of us managed to all get it working.
But that's great.
I don't know if anyone truly understands it, but I know how to play all the songs with it. So
yeah.
And that's kind of the gist of it. I don't want it to get any bigger.
Right. Yeah, that is.
I've actually taken some things off. Actually, last time around there was some other things, and I got rid of things to put other things on rather than just keep piling things on top.
Which I think is a good way to go, because some people just keep like building and they quit using things that they have on.
Yeah, yeah. No, everything on here gets used.
Yeah.
Every single thing gets used.
How cool.
So.
Yeah. Well, man, thanks for taking us through this. Congratulations, and enjoy your never-ending tour.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, hey, I'm here with Justin Harris of Block Party. Justin, thanks for joining us, man.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Tell me about this very cool P-Bass.
This P-Bass is a 1976 Fender P-Bass. Right. I've had this for many, many years now. Not since 1976, although, yeah, I guess I'm a year younger than that. So.
Okay, nice.
If it was given to me at birth,
right.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah, at conception.
I was conceived with this bass. Sorry, Mom, but it's. Yeah. I found out. Actually, this bass was stolen from me probably about 15 years ago or so. Thought I'd lost it, and then a couple years later a friend of mine was looking on Craigslist, just random things, I guess he came across a bass, and he sent me a link to it saying, this looks like your old bass. And I was like, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of natural color P basses out there. And
they made like a million of those.
They made a million of these, yes. But I had put this tortoise pickguard, and they normally come with a black pickguard, and so I was looking at it, I was like, yeah, kind of. So I contacted the guy and said, just out of curiosity, what's the serial number on that? And sure enough, it was my bass. And
how did that work?
He's like, whoa, well, I hope you don't think I stole it, because I bought it from some guy, you know, and so whoever stole it sold it to this guy, and then I bought it back from this guy.
Did he give you a deal when he bought it back?
No, I mean, I had already had claimed insurance on it, so it kind of worked out.
Cool,
for the
that's
better.
Great.
Yeah,
so any alterations other than the pickguard?
No, everything's all original other than the pickguard.
Cool. Yeah. So what town was it stolen, and where did you find it?
Well, I'm from Portland, Oregon, so it was stolen in Portland and bought again in Portland.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
very
local.
Cool. And is that your number one?
It is, yeah. This is the one I play the most. It's not as, it's, you know, as P-basses go, it's very light, which is why I like it. I used to have one with an A neck that had the jazz bass neck.
Yeah,
on it.
Yeah.
I don't know. This one, it has a little bit of a fat neck, but not as big and clunky as some of them can be, so I've gotten used to it.
And that's your number one?
This is the one I play most. Yeah.
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 What strings do you run on that?
These are, what are these? These are DR. What are they called? DDT, I think. They're the drop down tuning ones.
Oh,
they're,
okay.
Yeah, these are the heaviest four string ones they make.
Cool.
I like a heavy bass string.
Cool.
This bass predominantly had flat ones on it for probably the last 15 years until I started playing with Block Party, and their tone warrants a round wound string.
A little rounder,
so.
Little more definition.
Yeah.
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 Cool, man.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's look at the next one in the lineup.
Well, see, the thing is with these, so, because I'm rather new to this band.
Yeah, that's right. As a year. 2015, right?
You I just joined last year.
Congratulations, cool gig.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
So these were already in the Block Party stable, so I assume these were Gordon's old basses, but this one in particular is pretty great. Very low profile neck.
Yeah.
Cool color. So yeah, I use this for mostly like drop D songs. Yeah. This always stays in D.
So that's like the band bass that you sort of inherited with the gig?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, both of these actually were in the stable already, and this one.
Oh, that's great.
So. Kelly was just kind of, when I was doing demos and stuff with them for the last record, he was kind of just coming back and forth to the studio with this in a gig bag that was too short for this bass, so just the headstock was sticking out.
Yeah.
Consequently, it looks like it got a bent tuning peg.
Yeah, what could go wrong with your headstock sticking out of your bag?
Exactly. And then I played it one day, just demoing stuff, and this thing sounds amazing. This is a gray bass. I'd never heard of it before, but it's a Gibson RD Standard.
Yeah, those are like great rock and roll basses. Just,
it has, yeah, has one of the better tones I've ever heard in a bass. This last record, it beat out everything in the studio. So anytime I picked up one of the P basses or jazz bass, I was trying to play with it, this just always sounded better. So this, I basically played on every song that had string bass.
Any idea what year it is?
This would be like a 76, 77.
Cool.
It's in the mid 70s.
Cool. All right. Cool. So.
And they made two versions of these. This is the passive version.
Oh. Yeah.
They made one that had all these Moog electronics in it, I guess.
Wow.
Or Moog, however people like to say it.
Yeah. Moog.
Great bass though.
Potato. Yeah. Cool.
Super heavy. So I've been playing it more and more lately, but it gets pretty heavy after a while.
Cool.
Good sounding bass.
All right, so one bass and then two loner basses. That's a good way to go.
Yeah.
And then let's talk about this amp. So what are you plugging into here?
This is really, because I'm on in-ears, so this is more, I think this might be more of a stage prop.
really?
It's on, I do hear it, and I can stand and back and feel it a little more, which is nice. Certainly in-ears kind of isolate you from feeling bass. Oh no. Oh no, Louise got another guitar. Sorry. Drummer Louise just got another guitar. But this, also already, this is what I think Gordon used Ashdown quite a bit.
And what is it exactly?
It's the Ashdown Evo 900.
900
head,
okay.
Yeah, which I think used to be the biggest one they made. Huh. I don't think they make this. Maybe they do, but it's probably changed to a higher wattage, most likely.
And so the front of the house is getting a direct signal?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good segue.
Segue to the pedal board. Well done.
This is mostly stage monitor and just, it's a bass rig on the stage, I suppose.
Okay.
It's not being mic'd. It's not even really being heard other than by the front row, maybe.
Cool. All right, so let's look at this intimidating pedal board. Lots of stuff.
See, what's funny about this, you'll get to Russell here in a bit, but both Russell and Kelly used to have pedal boards that were, they're as big as that, but they were made of 3/4-inch plywood. They looked just like this, only bigger.
Yeah.
So when I made this pedal board, I'm a little hands-on, so I tried to mimic the look of what theirs was, because I didn't want to, have some odd thing on stage.
Sure.
And then they did go ahead and change to these pedal train.
Yeah, the more space aged. Yeah.
So, anyway, it's
basically, like your old school terrace thing. That's cool.
Yeah, it's not bad. So we basically just have the three basses. Because I'm a self-made man. I don't need somebody handing me basses.
Right. So you run them all in with a hard wire.
Yeah, run them all into there. They all go into this. What is it? I don't know how you pronounce these. Lele.
Oh yeah.
Pedals. This is just they're 3-at-1.
Yeah.
So it's just a switching between basses. Each one has a mute on it.
Yeah.
So those all go through here into the tuner. Underneath this is one of the Lele's P split, so just to keep a cleaner signal. That clean signal goes to the DI box that's just under here. There's also a little panel on this side that has pre and post effect.
Oh, cool.
Little jack plate there. So Tom, front of house, just takes pre-effect, post-effect, and blends them to his liking. Then everything goes basically to here, which is the X blend by Exotic Effects, made right here in the USA.
Cool.
And this just engages, disengages any of the effects that might be going, which are all put into this Voodoo Lab switching system. The commander here just has all the presets. So this is ridiculous as a bass player, I realize, because, bass players don't really even need effect pedals.
Yeah.
but they're really just different flavors of distortion. I have a compressor here at the end of the chain, all the way at the end of the chain. They have a lot of songs that do have overdriven. I should say. Block Party has a lot of overdriven songs for bass. And
so what all, so these are all basically just different fuzzes, overdrives, things like that.
Yeah, and
what are they? I mean, like, read down the list.
Yeah, well, this is put in place, this Mad Professor comp. Well, compressors put in there because some of these pedals have revert their output, the phase is reversed on them.
Oh.
So this flips it back to normal, and we only discovered this because they want to take direct and distorted signals. And whenever these two pedals were engaged, these Moleco pedals, it would cut the signal down by 10 dB. So we finally eventually figured out that it was because these have an output on their phase that's not just normal. Sure. Just doesn't go through it. So yeah, this is just there to do that, basically. And I have a slightly compressing on the way in. But this is the Moleco Diabolic. So Moleco, for those who don't know, is a Portland, Oregon-based company.
Oh, right.
Made right there in Portland.
Hometown pride.
Good people, amazing sounding pedals. This is great for guitar and bass, but this is one of the cooler bass overdrives. And this was developed by, what's his name, Justin Mendelson, the Bex bass player.
Oh,
and
cool.
Just a studio guy in LA. Both of them have clean blend, so I think actually every pedal here has a clean blend. I think a lot of the good boutique bass overdrives should have a clean, because bass kills, or distortion kills bass signal, always. So yeah, that's what that one is. This is a Vintage Deluxe, which is more of like a boost and just kind of a tone pedal, but it also has a little grit to it. It can get overdriven. I use that for a couple songs that I don't want full fuzz or distortion.
Sure.
And that's made by Dark Glass Electronics, which I think is a Scandinavian company. I think they're from Norway.
Cool.
The Bass Master, or the Bass Master.
Sure.
Which is a model of the old Brass Masters, from what I understand. Also Moleco company. This is made by this pedal called Rafferty, and it's basically one guy in Ireland. So he's just like this. I don't know how I came across this pedal, but I did. And when I listened to the samples that he had on his website, I was pretty impressed. It mimics Jaco Pastorius's fuzz sound on his bass from like the 60s and 70s.
Cool.
So it sounds different than anything else here on this board. Moving on, we have the Small Sound Big Sound. He's out of Philadelphia, but he's a pedal maker from he lived in the Northwest for a long time. He was in bands that I had known over the years. This Team Awesome Fuzz Machine, that's the pink one. That's an amazing fuzz pedal for anybody, guitar or bass, but also has a clean blend, so it's great for bass.
Cool.
This thing just kind of messes up any signal that you put through it in various different ways. Compressor at the end.
And what is that compressor?
This is the Dark Glass. Okay. It's called Super Symmetry.
Yeah. Does it have anything written on it, or is it just like...
Yeah. As far as does, they're just...
It's just really hard
to
see.
You can't read them very well.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then Ben's put tape on them. Yeah, and then Sans Amp, your standard classic Sans Amp. This one just has three different programmable presets for three distortion. I use this a lot. It just has a boost, low-end boost, and this has a little bit of drive on it. And this has a different tone for a couple songs that I want less bass in and more of a hollow, trebly sounding thing.
Cool. And then the Descend?
Oh, yes. Yeah, this is actually might be the most important pedal on here. So this is made by Heavy Electronics, and this is just an attenuation pedal. Because these two in particular, you can't get, like, once they're engaged, it's just so much signal boost.
Yeah.
And you really can't attenuate it on the pedal enough to level match with anything else. So I have this pretty much in the chain of the presets of these two, just to take them down to a normal level that's matching the rest of the chain.
Great.
I mean, you can do that with this too. You can blend with the X-Blender, but it doesn't, it's not quite the same. So.
And how are you powering all this stuff?
Powering it with a, what's the kind of, the Voodoo one spot?
One,
no,
oh,
it's the
oh,
one spot.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, the pedal train, pedal board, pedal, those guys.
Yeah.
One Spot is, they're here in Nashville.
Yeah, what is it?
Visual Sound. Visual Sound was their name. I think they've changed it to something else.
Well, I made this handy dandy trap door on my top.
Oh, nice.
So that you can.
This is actually really impressive you made that. It's
So this is, it's True Tone.
True Tone.
Yeah.
Formerly Visual Sound. Okay,
formerly
cool.
Visual Sound. Yeah.
All right, cool, man. Well, that's great.
Go.
Well, hey, well, congratulations on the awesome gig. That's
Thank
great,
you.
Man.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah. It's John Bolger. Till next time.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.